God fights for me. You know what? If we just remember just that word, just that little phrase, then God fights for me. That's going to change things around your life. All right? Because the more you understand that, the more you cooperate with that, the more you invite it, the more you honor it, because what you honor, you can have. Hallelujah. With all that, I got to ask you something. Okay, you can turn to Psalm 28. But as you turn to Psalm 28, I want to ask you something. What is the most powerful voice in your life? You're free to answer. There you go. That's a good, safe answer. How about a parent? How about a boss? How about a pastor? I want you to understand this one thing. The most powerful voice in your world, in your life, is your own. It's your own. Why? Because you have 70,000 thoughts per day. And so out of those 70,000 thoughts, I don't think there's anybody who's speaking to you, not even your wife, 70,000 thoughts worth. That means your voice is the most powerful voice in your life. I want you to understand, if you don't capture anything else, that you are powerful. You are powerful. You have the ability to change your life. You have the ability to change everything about you. You have the ability to make a difference everywhere that you go. There's some people, when they walk in, there's this sunshine that comes with them. You have the ability to do this. There are some people, whenever you're around them, then you're going to understand, you're going to get preached to, you're going to get something released to you. You just understand it. Why? Because you have the power to do this. You have the power to change somebody's life. You have the power to set somebody free. When somebody comes and sees me in Sozo, I don't even question what's going to happen, because I already know what's going to happen before I ever step in that room. I know they're going to leave with their life changed. Why? Because I've seen it over and over again, and I trust Holy Spirit to interact with me that way. I trust Holy Spirit to interact with them, even if they don't want to sometimes. Hello? So the most prolific voice we have is ours. But if you grow up in a negative environment, that most prolific voice becomes something different. The most prolific voice isn't speaking life in that moment. And the way around my dad, everything that was coming towards me was always negative. And so I got in the same habit. And it wasn't until I went to work for Sharon that Sharon kept pointing it out to me every day. So this boss had a whole lot of influence in my life. And there were days, I promise you, I got out of that office as quick as I could, because I was like, I can't deal with it now. Why? Because she was confronting something I needed to change. It was absolutely a jewel, okay? I want you to get to understand. But to rally, she was doing me a favor, because she was making me aware of what was coming out of my mouth. What I was setting my agreement to. And so I began to understand, and it formed a new habit, a new change. Changing takes time. Sometimes there's an effort to it. We've been doing these boot camp, and in this boot camp, one of the things we do is a lunge, and I've been working like this to get my foot straight, okay, when I do my little lunge. And you'd think, well, that's not a big deal. Well, if you always have walked all your life with your feet like this, it is a big deal. Because now even the muscle of it doesn't even feel right. But God is releasing. See, when you make a determination, you can change. You make a determination, you can form a new habit, a new thought pattern, a new way of dealing with things. You can tell your body that it's going to respond to something that it never responded to before. Somebody back there said, God, yes, I want God to be one of the most influential voices in your life. Obviously. But if you're really honest about it, how often are you checking in with him? Every moment. One of the great saints, he didn't go, 30 minutes or something without checking in with God, and it changed his life. Wigglesworth. He would go, and every 30 minutes or less, he would check back in and read his Bible and basically renew himself in the Lord. Now, in today's world, that's a little hard, but it's, you know what? Unless you set your mind to it, you don't know you can do it or not. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. And therefore, my heart gladly rejoices and my song will praise Him. See, there's in your joy, there is strength. But when we see the Lord is our strength, that's the thing that causes us to make manifest everything else. When we see Him as our strength, that's the Jehovah Ozi. Now, if it wasn't a long O and a short O, it would be Jehovah Uzi. I think we could all relate. I think we can all relate to that. Now God is my strength. But it shows a Ozi. But He's my strength. When I make that my banner, now then I can begin to link up to this. And as I link up to this, I can begin to walk in the fullness of what's been offered. When we make Him our strength instead of our own devices, it changes what we can do. I know, and I had a mentor who said, he knows what he could do in the natural, but what he can do with God was very different. I understand that same thing. I know what I can do in the natural. I also know what I can do when God's moving through. It's a whole nother dynamic. A whole nother dynamic. What you set your agreement for, never underestimate yourself. Never underestimate yourself. Kevin Zizai says, heaven doesn't underestimate you. Amen? So don't underestimate yourself. The reality is when the Lord gives you that impossible assignment, He wasn't expecting you to do it just in your own strength. Right, Rocky? There was probably no assignment that He's given you that you don't understand. This is beyond me to do. But you can do it if you begin to align to it. Hallelujah. Because you're putting your faith in Him. You're letting Him be your strength. So let me give you a little perspective here. Go to Luke 7. This is interesting because Carlos, it was something that I had made some notes about, but Carlos also mentioned it the other night, a couple of Wednesdays ago, and I was like, yes, we're right on target because we're already seeing the same thing. This is interesting. Because in Luke 7, verse 26, it says, what do you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and I say to you, one who is more than a prophet. Speaking about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was more than a prophet. In other words, John the Baptist was greater in his capacity than all the other prophets. Greater than Elijah. Greater than Elisha. Greater than David. Greater than Moses. All these men did incredible things, and he said John the Baptist was greater than all. That's perspective. But here's some more perspective. Verse 28. And I say to you, among these born of women, there is none greater than John. Yet he or she who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All of us, those of us who have come into this place where we can know God and know Christ and have this relationship with Him, be impacting from Him and be impacting through Him, that we are greater than even John. That's your perspective. If you carry that perspective home, now I can begin to see every situation I'm coming up against with a different mindset. Once you have that design to have a different mindset, when you begin to realize just who you are in Christ, when you begin to realize His faithfulness to you, the fact that He's the God who fights for you, the fact that you can begin now to make a difference around you, when you begin to do those things, now the important part then is to begin to surround yourself with an environment that fosters this. Surround yourself. But when I was young, I went to work with a group of guys who were just, they were absolutely brilliant at what they did. They were phenomenal. And they were tremendous mentors to me in the area of electronics and computers and those things. And so they set a standard in that area that was beyond anything that you might find in the rest of the society. But The interesting thing was that with all this and the fact that because of their skill set, they were making money hand over fist, they still had a poverty mentality. Now, I wasn't old enough to see or understand that. All I could see is that, you know, they're making well into six figures and right there in front of me, and all I got to do is do this, right? And so all I got to do is be as good as they are, which actually I got to do, so amen. But the deal was is that what I never understood was that, okay, they were excelling in one area, but in this other area, they had not made those changes that were necessary. See, we were all alcoholics. Okay, not just them, but me too, because that was part of the deal, right? This is what you do. This is how business gets done. But they had that mindset, that same mindset, that poverty mindset that didn't allow them to take the next step in their life. So we can make a choice. We don't have to be limited by that. We can just now choose what we're going to be surrounded with. And when you start applying yourself to, when you start applying yourself to the ascension, when you start applying yourself to the plumb line prayer, when you start coming into this area and allowing this thing to be fruitful in your life, it's going to make the change, and it gives you a place to be surrounded by faith. Awesome. If I told you there's an environment where you can be so surrounded by faith that nothing else even matters, would you do it? Because that's what this is. You can be so surrounded by faith, so surrounded by God's presence, that everything else just fades away, and now your mind can actually get clear and be fixed on where it's going. But it takes a choice. It doesn't happen by accident. It didn't happen for me just because I let LaRue pray. But here's the deal. See, because a certain amount of pride and issues in my life, it was when LaRue was praying it was great, and I'm glad. But until I started praying it, it wasn't changing my life. Until I started praying it, it wasn't changing my life. I can get somebody else to pray it. I can get somebody else. I can get Catherine to go in for me. But until I start going in for me, it doesn't change my life. Because why? Because I'm not surrounded yet by the atmosphere of Christ. I'm not surrounded by an atmosphere of love. I haven't gone to the place where I'm in Him and He's in me and I'm abiding in this love. When you're abiding in love, guess what? Things change. Things that were unloving get exposed. And I don't have to focus on it. I don't have to condemn myself. I just recognize it's going to get exposed. And so I let Him have it. Why? Because all He's doing is showing me love. When I start praying it and I start doing it now, I can come to a place that God is shifting my understanding of the world around me, because I no longer, you know, I can tell you I have had in my life very nationalistic feelings, okay? But I can understand now from a kingdom perspective, it's not just America first. But I want you to understand there is something bigger. There's kingdom first. It's got to be kingdom first in my life. It's got to be kingdom first. Now, does He want to bless America? America is the best blessing on this earth. Absolutely, He wants to bless America. He wants to move through America. But at the same time, I've got to understand there's a kingdom that takes precedence. And when I start looking and thinking and living out of this kingdom that takes precedence, it does change things. Surrounding yourself in that positive atmosphere. Surrounding yourself in an atmosphere that's without pain. There was a time recently where I spent 10 minutes, maybe longer, in an atmosphere where my body and my mind and my emotions were totally devoid of pain. When you get a little bit older, your body doesn't always want to cooperate. All that was gone. when you get to this age and in this place, why, there's certain things in your emotions where you've had pain, and you've had that pain all your life. And you do what you can to give it over to the Lord. But in that moment, it was gone. All the frustration, all the disappointment, all the hurt, all the abandonment, all the rejection, it was just gone. See, when you live in that, you know what? I wish I could just come up and just touch you and release that to you. I wish I could do that. But the reality is, so far he hasn't given me that as a gift, but I will take it if he does, okay? But what the deal is it why? Because he's sending me to encourage you that it's out there. It's with you. It's for you. It's in you. Why? Because you are strong. Because you are able to do this. Because you're able to change. You're able to be powerful and make this difference in your life. You can find it too. So as you're going in, just trust him to open up whatever needs to be. And I can tell you that in that moment, and I'm not telling you this to brag, I'm telling you this to set a course. Set a compass. As you're going in, just be open to him doing whatever he needs to do. And in this moment, as I was drawn in, we were saying and we were doing prayers, and all of a sudden it was just like I stepped into the light and I sort of became light. Because then all my emotions in the place, you know, when God speaks to you, it's not like me talking. It's sound, it's light, it's emotion all happening at the same time. And you come into a oneness with that. And then when you're in oneness with that, you're in oneness with him. And guess what? When I'm free of pain, all my defense mechanisms were totally unnecessary. My defense mechanisms were no longer needed. All the things that I do normally, you know, around people and around, you know, when somebody approaches you, you're estimating what's going to happen. Your guard is out there testing the water a little bit. It was unnecessary. Why? Because I didn't have the hurts to base it off of. So when we do this, we're getting to know the seed, the DNA that's truly within us. That's what's available on the other side of this. The DNA that you're made of. I'm going to let that sink in right there. On the other side of this is the DNA that you've been called to be. Earlier, LaRue was saying, coming now, this move is coming from within. And what God, the Lord is doing is coming from within. I totally agree. Because basically, when he says in John 7, 37, 38, that there's going to be rivers of living water flowing out of us, it's just going to flow and it's going to baptize everybody around us. And it's going to make the difference. It's going to be something that just flows out of you. It's not going to be something you're doing on purpose. It's something that you can construct. It just flows because you're there. You do more by accident than you could have ever done on purpose simply because you're wearing Christ and Christ is in you. And now all of a sudden he's come on the scene and he's there to explode on whatever necessary. More by accident than we ever could by intention. When you're attached to the vine, I encourage you to go through the seven I am's. There are seven I am scriptures. Go through those seven I am's and pray into those. I'm not going to tell you what they are because I want you to look them up. I'm giving you homework. Jesus says seven I am's in John. I'll give you just that much. It's in John. I am. I am the light of the world. But he says also, I am the vine. If I am the vine, and if I am with the one who is the vine, and I am connected to the vine, well, guess where that vine is connected? That vine is connected to the Father. And guess what? When I'm connected to the vine, it's connected to the Father. I'm connected to the very root. And when I'm connected to that root, all of a sudden the Father can have His perfect will released in here. Because see, I might be walking on this earth, but He's up there in heaven, and we're connected together, and there's a release that comes. Because I'm walking in Him. And He's in me. And that vine, we're in the vine. The branch gets its life from the vine. The branch gets everything that it does. But it also produces fruit and it releases it back to the root. Rivers of living water. In Him I live and move and have my being. In Him I live and move and have my being. I just, you know, just let those living waters just circulate through you. I can remember when I was in Colombia, and I've shared this before, but when I was in Colombia, there was a day where we had just started the Blessing in the Water series. I think we'd heard the message before I left for Colombia was the first message of the Blessing in the Water. So I was just, the service was over. I'd already ministered. People were let out. And the one guy who was with me, there was one guy, because they always assign somebody to be with you, to stand with you, because white people disappear down there. So they had one guy who was standing with me. And all I did, I just started comprehending and going in and settling this blessing in the water in my spirit. And as I did so, without me saying anything externally, he began to just flip and flop and go into deliverance. I wasn't doing anything. I'm just beholding the blessing in the water and allowing it to be in me. Unfortunately, it was leaking out on him, and it had certain things that he had in his life that needed to be dealt with. God's going to release something. Why? Because you are powerful. Go with me to 2 Timothy. Because I don't want to do anything without giving you scripture. You know, when I give you a scripture and the addresses, that's because I want you to look it up. I give it to you because I want you to study it for yourself. Don't just do it and say, well, Chuck said. No, you get to heaven and he said, Chuck said. That might not work. Do your homework. Hallelujah. Verse 6. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is Paul talking to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Guess what the power, love, and a sound mind are? It's the gift of God that He's given you. It's the gift of God that He's given you. Power, love, and a sound mind. You know, this scripture was probably the first scripture I ever learned, because when I was 35 before I got saved, and so I didn't know anything about anything. But this scripture became the first one that I can tell you, just beginning to interact with that scripture changed my life. But I see even something more in it now than I did then, because it gives me a soundness of mind. In other words, it gives me a soundness of the way that I think. My perceptions of the world around me, when they're not coming from my defensiveness, they can be now clear to perceive correctly. As long as I'm in a defensive posture, then I am always perceiving everything as a threat rather than as what it might actually be. Sometimes something that you perceive as a threat becomes a blessing. And even things like adversity. See, adversity is one of those things that I would perceive as a threat, right? But the reality is adversity is this preparation for the triumph. It's preparation for completion. If I understand it that way, because I'm free of pain, now I'm able to step into it and go, okay, come on. But here's something that I didn't ever catch before. Because he's speaking, and he's still speaking to Timothy here in verse 10. He says, but now has revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. See, maybe you may not be in a place where you can see that yet, but when he's bringing life and immortality, Paul is understanding what God, the Lord Jesus had made available. He's understanding and he's pursuing God in this way. What he's actually pursuing is a transfiguration. That's the fullness of life and immortality. And he's given you a clue as to it right there. That's why I see. In other words, the ultimate place he's looking for is a transfiguration. We look and we're doing good, really, to be honest with us, if we actually move into transformation. But God is actually seeking and showing transfiguration is possible. There is something better. There's something better. Because most of the time, what we are is conformed to something rather than transformed. When we're conformed, that means it can be changed again. But if we come transformed, now the DNA is changed. Remember what we said about the DNA earlier? The DNA, when we are having and being affected and changed by the DNA of Christ, it changes us completely forever. You can't go back. There's no going back. There's no more place for I'm in this and then I'm out and then I'm in and then I'm out. I'm walking the fence of salvation and there's no fence walking of salvation when you're transformed. But the next step is a transfiguration where the light and the glory of God, the glory of the Father is revealed through you because why you're allowing him to inhabit you. I'm preaching outside of where I've gotten to on that one. I understand. But I can tell you, if I can see it and I can honor it, I'm going to look for him to do it. If you walk in someday and you just see nothing but light in here, you'll know what happened. I think that'd be awesome. So much of the time we have given the enemy way more space and way more latitude than he ever deserved. And it was our surrender. If somebody's trying to make you a victim, be very suspicious. If they're trying to tell you that you're a victim, then you have to know they have a motive for that, and it isn't God. In World War II, FDR died on April 12th. Which means that Harry Truman had to step up and become president. When he stepped up to become president was the first time that they told him that the atom bomb existed. Now, can you imagine being the man who has to make this decision? But he adopted this saying, the buck stops here. When you begin to understand that the buck stops here, when you take responsibility for your actions and your decisions, then you can no longer be a victim. You are no longer a victim because it's impossible for somebody who's taken control and authority over those things to be victimized. But see, in that moment, he began in less than 4 months. August 6th, they dropped the first bomb. 3 days later, they dropped the second bomb and the end of the war was done. But that man had to make a decision in those 4 months. He had to come into a position, a new position to him, a new authority to him. He had to come into that position, acclimate to that position, and take authority for what was fixing to happen in his life and the life of every American. You are powerful. If that man can do it, you can do it. He was a flawed man. He had a lot of flaws. But he understood that one thing really well. He was right there. He was the man that God appointed for that moment and that hour. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be perfect to be God's man for the hour, God's woman for the hour. You don't have to be perfect to stand up and say, God said this and this is what we're going to do. The whole million woman prayer thing that they're in a part of here, that was because one person saw something that they knew wasn't right and they said, Lord, what are you going to do about it? And he just said, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Whatever's facing you, it's up to you. What are you going to do about it? Because the buck stops here. It's in us. Christ is in us. Christ, the hope of glory. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When he's living in me, I get to take the change. When he's living in me, I get to reflect the change. When he's living in me, I get to walk in the light as he's walking in the light. And as I'm walking in that light, it's going to make a difference to the environment around me. The devil wants to convince you that your past is never over. I'm telling you, you're one decision away from your past being over. Now, I've told this before, but there's some who haven't heard it. But there was a day, and I'm sad to say that I'd already been a Christian for 6 or 7 years at that moment, at that day. And I'm going up my stairs, and between the fourth and the fifth step, God showed me everything in my life. He showed me all the dysfunction that I grew up with and all the pain that it caused, all the things that I was dealing with. And then he showed me how I was replicating it into my current family. Now, that was a hard thing. But the buck stops here. When I recognized what was going on and recognized how I was just duplicating the thing, after I quit crying and dealing with and coming to the Lord and repenting before God and repenting before everything else that I could figure out how to do in that moment, then I picked up the phone and I called my wife and I said, I see it. And I can't promise you that I'm going to be perfect. But I can promise you that I'm going to work on it every day. And the next 20 years of our life have been a whole lot different than those other first 20. Amen. We're one decision away from that moment. You're one decision away from creating and releasing from the power that is within you. And when that power is a relationship with a holy God, it's going to have a holy effect. Know this, Jeremiah 29:11. He has thoughts for you. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give an expected end. Victimhood will never get an expected end. But when I stand in the assurance that God is with me, that he's fighting for me, I can have my expected end because why? It's his design. All I'm doing is submitting myself to his design. Amen. Let me give you one more thing, because see, I want you to understand the how. The how was the plumb line, okay? And the natural, the how was this. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any of excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these. The process of renewal. You got something? Okay. The process of renewal starts there. Allowing your mind to be renewed by the scripture. Allowing your mind to be renewed by the things that God has put in your life that are positive and wonderful and beautiful. By allowing yourself to be changed and shifted because you are powerful to make a difference for the kingdom. For the United States, yes. For the kingdom first. For your heart. Those around you, your family. Make a difference. Amen.